Every Tuesday, Austin Rich descends into the Lava Lamp Lounge to dispense pop culture detritus and DJ deconstructions from the comfort of historic St. John's, Oregon. Listen as he pontificates like a man appointed with a sacred duty of hosting a radio program by a mysterious church in this very episode of Blasphemous Radio.
Blasphemous Radio.
True. Nervous. Very, very dreadfully nervous I had been and am. But why will you say that I am mad? The disease had sharpened my senses, not destroyed, not dulled them. Above all was the sense of hearing acute. I heard all things in the heaven and in the earth. I heard many things in hell. How then am I mad? Hearken and observe how healthily, how calmly I can tell you the whole story.
I wear my sign.
To a very special episode of Blasphemous Radio, as we journey into our annual Halloween Spooktacular. This week, we stroll through the pumpkin patch to bring you the Telltale Heart, written by my good friend Edgar Allan Poe, and read by none other than the incredible Iggy Pop. Join us for an entire hour of pumpkin treats as we journey into stories about monsters, vampires, the dead of night, and a very scary encounter between a young man and an old man. The Telltale Heart is probably one of my favorite Halloween tales. A story so terrifying that it would still my own beating heart. This week, we also feature music selected by Miss Ricky Lee of Closet Radio. You can find more information about her at closetradio.tumblr.com, where she herself is producing a series of Halloween shows for the discriminating listener. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm feeling dead tired and need to bring you today's selection, The Telltale Heart, read by Mr. Iggy Pop. Stick around if you dare.
Impossible to say how first the idea entered my brain, but once conceived, it haunted me day and night. Object there was none. Passion there was none. I loved the old man. He had never wronged me. He had never given me insult. For his gold I had no desire. I think it was his eye. Yes, it was this. He had the eye of a vulture, a pale blue eye with a film over it. Whenever it fell upon me, my blood ran cold. And so by degrees, very gradually, I made up my mind to take the life of the old man and thus rid myself of the eye forever.
Out in the woods.
you fancy me mad. Madmen know nothing, but you should have seen me. You should have seen how wisely I proceeded, with what caution, with what foresight, with what dissimulation I went to work. I was never kinder to the old man than during the whole week before I killed him. And every night, about midnight, I turned the latch of his door and opened it, oh so gently. And then, when I had made an opening sufficient for my head, I put in a dark lantern, all closed, closed so that no light shone out, and then I thrust in my head. Oh, you would have laughed to see how cunningly I thrust it in. I moved it slowly, very, very slowly, so that I might not disturb the old man's sleep. It took me an hour to place my whole head within the opening so far that I could see him as he lay upon his bed. Ha! Would a madman have been so wise as this? Well, in the room, I undid the lantern cautiously, oh, so cautiously, cautiously, for the hinges creaked. I undid it just so much that a single thin ray fell upon the vulture eye. And this I did for 7 long nights, every night just at midnight, but I found the eye always closed, and so it was impossible to do the work, for it was not the old man who vexed me, but his evil eye. And every morning when the day broke, I went boldly into the chamber and spoke courageously to him, calling him by name in a hearty tone and inquiring how he had passed the night. So you see, he would have been a very profound old man indeed to suspect that every night, just at 12, I looked in upon him while he slept. I'm eighth night, I was more than usually cautious in opening the door. A watch's minute hand moves more quickly than did mine. Never before that night had I felt the extent of my own powers, of my sagacity. I could scarcely contain my feelings of triumph. To think that there I was, opening the door little by little, and he not even to dream of my secret deeds or thoughts. I fairly chuckled at the idea. And perhaps he heard me, for he moved on the bed suddenly as if startled. Now you may think that I drew back, but no. His room was as black as pitch with the thick darkness, for the shutters were close fastened through fear of robbers. And so I knew that he could not see the opening of the door, and I kept pushing it on steadily, steadily.
Out on the wings of another life, reaching the rays up before you climb. Think you got it made, I don't know why. Sooner or later, you're gonna fly into the night to raise up the dead. Put me on trial before I talk. Gotta get away before I walk. But they can't hear you scream into the night to raise up the dead.
Today's tale is full of creepy, hearty chills. So, stick around past these messages for more The Telltale Heart, only on BlasphemousRadio.com.
Can you see the rings inside their eyes? Did you know that justice was never blind? I know what the world is coming to. I got a place in my heart for you. Into the night to raise up the dead.
Such a nice floating sensation. I had no idea we were so far into Blasphemous Radio. I've got to count to 10 and push the button. 1, 2, 3. Where DJ Austin Rich patted me on the arm, smiling. And I took a little box of noise home with me. I couldn't make them understand. It wasn't just a dream. It was something that was happening. Really happening.
Audience participation is happening at Blasphemous on Skype, Twitter, Gmail, MyFaceTier Plus. Just go to our page and click the Enjoy button, and at BlasphemousRadio.com. We here at Blasphemous Radio really want to thank you for enjoying our program and supporting it in the way that you do. So, if you are not doing so already, please go to the iTunes store and subscribe to Blasphemous Radio. There's a number of subscription options, and all of them are free. And if you enjoy the program, please leave a comment and let us know exactly what you like about it and what keeps you coming back every week. And then, of course, you can always go to the MyFaceTier Plus page and give us an enjoy or two. Those definitely help the program, and it tells us exactly what we can do for you as someone who listens and enjoys what we do. Thanks. No amount of money or organization support was used in any way, shape, or form to produce this ad for your listening pleasure. Thank you.
Blasphemous Radio.
I had my head in and was about to open the lantern when my thumb slipped upon the tin fastening and the old man sprang up in bed crying out, "Who's there?" I kept quite still and said nothing. For a whole hour I did not move a muscle, and in the meantime I did not hear him lie down. He was still sitting up in the bed listening, just as I have done night after night, hearkening to the death watches in the wall. Presently I heard a slight groan, and I knew it was the groan of mortal terror. It was not a groan of pain or of grief, oh no. It was the low, stifled sound that arises from the bottom of the soul when overcharged with awe. I knew the sound well.
There is something, thrilling about the glow of the candlelight down here in the Lava Lamp Lounge, which doubles as my crypt this time of year. It almost makes you feel like you're alive again. In today's episode, we are hearing The Telltale Heart, the classic story by Mr. Edgar Allan Poe, a close personal friend of mine, as read by the immortal Iggy Pop. In part one, we heard Halloween by Susie and the Banshees. I miss her so. She's like a sister to me. The Haunted House of Rock, 95 by Satan's Pilgrims. Splatterhouse by The Coffin Cats. Monsters by Scratch Acid. Dead Souls by No Means No. In Love with the Dead by Behead the Prophet, No Lord Shall Live. And we closed with Raise the Dead by my good friends Dead Moon. Yes. Today, we celebrate in the pumpkin patch, bringing you tales well calculated to make you pogo into the night. Many of the songs you hear were selected by Miss Ricky Lee of Closet Radio. Do not forget to tune in to her program every Saturday between 1 and 3 p.m. on KPSU. That is, if you're not terrified to do so. When we walk through the pumpkin patch, it is often that we hear horrific sounds, terrifying screams, and, if they're lucky, three chords pounding out a ferocious sound. If your pulse quickens and the sweat forms on your brow, do not be alarmed. It merely means the music has begun. Stay with us for part two of today's terrifying tale, The Telltale Heart. Only on Blasphemous Radio.
Many a night, just at midnight, when all the world slept, it has welled up from my own bosom, deepening with its dreadful echo the terrors that distracted me. I say I knew it well. I knew what the old man felt and pitied him, although I chuckled at heart. I knew that he had been lying awake ever since the first slight noise, when he had turned in the bed. His fears had been ever since growing upon him. He had been trying to fancy them causeless, but could not. He had been saying to himself, It is nothing but the wind in the chimney. It is only a mouse crossing the floor. Or it is merely a cricket which has made a single chirp. Yes, he had been trying to comfort himself with these suppositions, but he had found all in vain. All in vain, because death, in approaching him, had stalked with his black shadow before him and enveloped the victim. And it was the mournful influence of the unperceived shadow that caused him to feel, although he neither saw nor heard, to feel the presence of my head within the room.
Can the living die? Go sleepwalk in the living day.
Trust it!
patiently without hearing him lie down, I resolved to open a little, a very, very little crevice in the lantern. So I opened it. You cannot imagine how stealthily, stealthily, until at length a simple dim ray, like the thread of the spider, shot out from the crevice and fell full upon the vulture eye. It was open, wide, wide open, and I grew furious as I gazed upon it. I saw it with perfect distinctness, all a dull blue with a hideous veil over it that chilled the very marrow in my bones. But I could see nothing else of the old man's face or person, for I had directed the ray as if by instinct, precisely upon the damned spot. And have I not told you that what you mistake for madness is but over-acuteness of the senses?
Side. on the prowl tonight. Me and my children of the night. Already be the gruesome sight. And I'm out on the prowl tonight. I'm out on the prowl tonight. Me and my children of the night. Already be the gruesome sight. And I'm out on the prowl tonight. Now, 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 the prowl tonight.
I say, there came to my ears a low, dull, quick sound, such as a watch makes when enveloped in cotton. I knew that sound well, too. It was the beating of the old man's heart. It increased my fury as the beating of a drum stimulates the soldier into courage. But even yet, I refrained and kept still. I scarcely breathed. I held the lantern motionless. I tried how steadily I could maintain the ray upon the eye. Meanwhile, the hellish tattoo of the heart increased. It grew quicker and quicker, and louder every instant. The old man's terror must have been extreme. It grew louder, I say, louder every moment. Do you mark me well? I have told you that I am nervous, so I am. And now, at the dead hour of the night, amid the dreadful silence of that old house, so strange a noise as this excited me to uncontrollable terror. Longer, I refrained and stood still. But the beating grew louder, louder. I thought the heart must burst. And now a new anxiety seized me. The sound would be heard by a neighbor. The old man's hour had come. With a loud yell, I threw open the lantern and leaped into the room. He shrieked once, once only. In an instant, I dragged him to the floor and pulled the heavy bed over him. I then smiled gaily to find the deed so far done. But for many minutes, the heart beat on with a muffled sound. This, however, did not vex me. It would not be heard through the wall. At length it ceased. The old man was dead. I removed the bed and examined the corpse. Yes, he was stone dead.
Am I really alive? If ever what follows, will we ever survive? I sometimes wonder if we'll get up dead or alive. Dead or alive. Get to be a spaceman, to fly out to Neverland. Enjoying life is nothing new, but is this heaven or hell that we're going through? I'm going crazy, am I really alive? Everyone follows, will we ever survive? I sometimes wonder if we'll get out dead or alive. Dead or alive.
The children of the night listen to such beautiful music together. Stay with us for more after these messages here on BlasphemousRadio.com.
I'm going crazy, am I really alive? If everyone follows, will we ever survive? I sometimes wonder if we'll get up dead or alive. Dead or alive. Used to be too blind to see, destroying things in front of me. People stare and ask me why. Will I get alive or will I die? I'm going crazy, am I really alive? If everyone follows, will we ever survive? I sometimes wonder if we'll get up. I'm going crazy, am I really alive? If everyone follows, will we ever survive? I sometimes wonder if we'll get up. I'm going crazy, am I really alive? If everyone follows, will we ever survive? I sometimes wonder if we'll get up. Dead or alive.
You are listening to
Blasphemous Radio. Believe everything
you hear.
Do as you are told. Austin Rich is in control.
This is not a test.
This episode of Blasphemous Radio was brought to you by Obsessive Record Collecting, scanning thrift stores near and far since 1998. If you would like to become a sponsor of Blasphemous Radio, send an email to austinrich@gmail.com. Thank you. Audience participation is happening at Blasphemous on Skype, Twitter, Gmail, MyFaster Plus. Just go to our page and click the enjoy button. And at BlasphemousRadio.com.
Blasphemous Radio.
The problem with a program like this is that it is not enough to bring the dead back to the living week after week through playing these records. But often, when you do, you have to put them back in the ground, one after another. The work is backbreaking, to say the least. Often I am dead on my feet. More often than not, I need to take a walk through the pumpkin patch. Calm my nerves. In part two of today's program, not only have you been listening to the legendary Iggy Pop, a good friend of mine, I might add, reading Edgar Allan Poe's classic tale, The Telltale Heart, but you've also heard the sounds of Man or Astro Man bringing you King of the Monsters, The Living Dead by The Front. Ah yes, The Front. It has been so long. I miss them. Back from the Dead by Black Eyes and Necktie. Two of my favorite things. Blood Visions by Jay Rita. Dracula by my good friends, the Sawyer family. Fearless Vampire Killers by Bad Brains. And we closed the set with a track by Gigi Allen and the Motor City Bad Boys with none other than Dead or Alive. It is not uncommon for people to get lost in the pumpkin patch. That is why we do this show every year, to give someone an opportunity to find their way home again. It is the only way I can scare the living dead out of them. There's more to come. Iggy's not quite dead yet. So stick with us for part three of The Telltale Heart. guaranteed to fill you with dread.
I placed my hand upon the heart and held it there many minutes. There was no pulsation. He was stone dead. His eye would trouble me no more. If still you think me mad, you will think so no longer when I describe the wise precautions I took for the concealment of the body. The night waned, and I worked hastily, but in silence. First of all, I dismembered the corpse. I cut off the head and the arms and the legs. I then took up three planks from the flooring of the chamber and deposited all between the scantlings. I then replaced the boards so cleverly, so cunningly, that no human eye, not even his, could have detected anything wrong. There was nothing to wash out, no stain of any kind, no blood spot whatever. I had been too wary for that. A tub had caught all. Ha ha. When I had made an end of these labors, it was 4 o'clock, still dark as midnight. Down to open it with a light heart, for what had I now to fear? There entered three men, who introduced themselves with perfect suavity as officers of the police. A shriek had been heard by a neighbor during the night. Suspicion of foul play had been aroused. Information had been lodged at the police office, and they, the officers, had been deputed to search the premises. I smiled, for what had I to fear? I bade the gentlemen welcome. The shriek, I said, was my own in a dream. The old man I mentioned was absent in the country. I took my visitors all over the house. I bade them search. Search well. I led them at length to his chamber. I showed them his treasures, secure, undisturbed. In the enthusiasm of my confidence, I brought chairs into the room and desired them here to rest from their fatigues, while I myself, in the wild audacity of my perfect triumph, placed my own seat upon the very spot beneath which reposed the corpse of the victim.
Skinny mommy, I'm a skinny clover.
I was singularly at ease. They sat, and while I answered cheerily, they chatted of familiar things. But ere long, I felt myself getting pale and wished them gone. My head ached, and I fancied a ringing in my ears, but still they sat and still chatted. The ringing became more distinct. It continued and became more distinct. I talked more freely to get rid of the feeling, but it continued and gained definiteness until at length I found that the noise was not within my ears. No doubt I now grew very pale, but I talked more fluently and with a heightened voice, yet the sound increased, and what could I do? It was a low, dull, quick sound, much such a sound as a watch makes when enveloped in cotton. I gasped for breath, and yet the officers heard it not. I talked more quickly, more vehemently, but the noise steadily increased. I arose and argued about trifles in a high key and with violent gesticulations, but the noise steadily increased. Why would they not be gone? I paced the floor to and fro with heavy strides, as if excited to fury by the observations of the men, but the noise steadily increased. Oh, God, what could I do? I foamed. I raved. I swore. I swung the chair upon which I had been sitting and grated it upon the boards, but the noise arose above all and continually increased. It grew louder, 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 and still the men chatted pleasantly and smiled. Was it possible they heard not? Almighty God, no, no, they heard. They suspected, they knew. They were making a mockery of my horror. This I thought and this I think. But anything was better than this agony. Anything was more tolerable than this derision. I could bear those hypocritical smiles no longer. I felt that I must scream or die. And now again, hark, louder, 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 louder. Villains, I shrieked. Dissemble no more, I admit the deed. Tear up the planks, here, here. It is the beating of this hideous heart.
My children, the records are broken. And it is almost dawn, so we must close today's program, where we brought you the Telltale Heart, a classic tale by Edgar Allan Poe, as read by Iggy Pop, a good friend of mine who still owes me for that night on the town. In part three, we heard Mummy's Little Monster by Frankie Stein and his ghouls. Monsters by Mad March and the Stonecutters. I'm a Mummy by The Fall. Probably my favorite fall song, as it were. I was a teenage werewolf. A story I told myself too. Lux Interior, and he borrowed for this very song. And then, The Telltale Heart by The Gravetones. We are closing today with Heartaches by Ted Weems. A little joke, if you will. Special thanks this week goes to Miss Ricky Lee for selecting many of the tunes you heard in our annual walk through the Pumpkin Patch. Part of our Halloween spooktacular here on blasphemousradio.com. If you're still alive at this point, I must also thank Kyle Rich for keeping our show on the interweb. Josh Jones for designing our avatars while you are online. And Flies Away for writing our theme music. There's more Halloween spooktacular fun coming in the weeks ahead. as we approach my favorite day of the year. In the meantime, take care of yourselves. And if you hear a scream in the middle of the night, do not be alarmed. It is merely someone listening to BlasphemousRadio.com.
Blasphemous Radio.
And a follow-up to the story from last summer's wacky season that had some listeners upset about the administration's use of DNA cloning to produce a line of invulnerable Frankenstein's monsters. Well, latest news from Scientists United for Government Grants indicates that the monsters keep going to pieces as a result of special forces fitness training. I guess an emotional monster doesn't make an effective weapon. This is Bill Undermutter for CNN No Evil News all over the globe. Up next, Pat Buchanan's exclusive interview with Henry Kissinger live from an undisclosed location where Dr. K is hiding out from War Crimes Court subpoena servers.